What is the meaning of Christmas? The meaning of Christmas is to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God sent his only Son to the earth to die for the sins of all the world. Jesus was truly born to die. It all began about 2,000 years ago when God chose Virgin Mary, engaged to a man named Joseph. One day, Angel Gabriel came to Mary to tell her that she is highly favored, blessed, and with the Lord. Although she was afraid, God chose her to bear his Son, for the angel continued to speak and say, "Thou shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Mary was concerned because she wasn't married yet, but the angel explained that the Holy Ghost would come upon her, and she will conceive the Son of God. She felt blessed to be used of God. Later on, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, a picture of sacrifice, and laid him in a barn's manger. Because these were tax days, there was no indoor room for Joseph and pregnant Mary in the inns. As this happened, an angel of the Lord gathered shepherds who were in the same country to meet God's son. Wise men came to worship the newborn as well. They brought him gifts of gold, myrrh, and frankincense. The Bible says that Mary pondered all these things in her heart. We celebrate Christmas to remember and to remind us of the birth of God's Son and sacrifice, Jesus Christ. Have you received the one who was born to die?
On the night Christ was born, just before break of morn, as the stars in the sky were fading, o'er the place where he lay fell a shadow cold and gray of a cross that would humble a king.
Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live.
Jesus knew when he came he would suffer in shame. He could feel every pain and sorrow, but he left paradise. With his blood he paid the price. My redemption to Jesus I owe.
Dearest Lord, evermore may thy cross I adore, as I follow the path to Calvary. Of thy death I partake, my ambition I forsake, all my will I surrender to thee.
Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live. He was wounded that I might live.
Thank you. Mother's Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Then entered in those wise men three, full reverently upon their knee, then offered there in his presence their gold and myrrh and frankincense. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid.
And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Many people get confused on what the true meaning of Christmas is. They think that Christmas is about getting new things such as toys, clothes, new video games, TVs, and cars. Some people think Christmas is about decorations like Christmas trees, ornaments, lights, and candy canes. Some younger kids think that Christmas is about Santa Claus and how he climbs down the chimney to put presents under the tree. Although some people think Christmas is about presents or decorations, other people think that Christmas is just another holiday. I disagree with this because Christmas is a special day. The reason Christmas is a special day is that Christ is in Christmas. The true meaning of Christmas is Jesus. When Mary and Joseph were on their way to pay taxes, Mary was pregnant with Jesus. Later on, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in a manger because there was no room in the inn. Jesus had no sin because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. The true meaning of Christmas is known in its name. Although some people try to get rid of Christ by saying Merry Xmas, the real meaning of Christmas is still Jesus.
Cause I ain't been- somebody sits on me. I did a dance on mommy's plans, climbed a tree and tore my pants, filled that sugar bowl with ants. Somebody sits on me. Oh, I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Mommy and Daddy are mad. I'm getting nothing for Christmas. 'Cause I ain't been nothing but bad.
So you better be good, whatever you do, 'cause if you're bad, I'm warning you.
Christmas is the day that the vast majority of people in the world are anticipating. They can't wait to get their hands on the presents wrapped in fancy paper under the tree or get to the store for all the good deals. Everybody can't wait for Christmas because of the material things that they're going to receive. So many people have missed what Christmas is really about, including Christians. It is a sad thing to know that Christians, who know the true meaning of Christmas, celebrate it just as the world does. As Christians, we must take this opportunity with unsaved friends and family to show them that Christmas isn't about presents, Christmas trees, or Santa, but about Jesus Christ. We must let them know that the greatest gift that they could ever receive is salvation through Him. Are we, as Christians, so focused on giving the best earthly gift that we forget to share the most important heavenly gift?
Christmas tree, we have M&Ms as a whole family together. I like Christmas presents. I like it when my mom makes chocolate pie. I like seeing my cousin for Christmas.
I like Christmas presents.
I like spending time with my mama.
I like Christmas lights.
I like having the family over for Christmas.
I like praising the Lord.
I like decorating the Christmas tree.
I like to eat with my family.
I like decorating the Christmas tree.
I like it when it's Jesus' birthday.
I like it when we go to Texas and I spend quality time with my family.
I like celebrating when Jesus was born.
I like decorating a Christmas tree.
I like baking cookies with my mom.
I like it because it's Jesus' birthday.
I like it when I go over to my grandma's cabin.
I like celebrating Jesus.
Bearing gifts.
presents or family time. The truth of the matter is that that's not in the Bible. The true meaning of Christmas is found in Luke chapter number 2. In this chapter, we read about the birth of Jesus. His birth is the true meaning of Christmas. It is about celebrating Jesus Christ coming to earth. The miracle of Christmas is that Jesus being born of a virgin. In all the hustle and bustle of Christmas, we lose focus on the real meaning of this special day. This Christmas, don't be so focused on the presents, the singing, or just the day, but rather focus on the reason we celebrate Christmas at all, which is Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, would you take some time out of the rush of the holiday season and just remember that the real meaning of Christmas? Don't miss the joy you can experience when you put Jesus Christ first.
Sweet silver bells all seem to say, throw cares away, Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and humble. Ding dongy dong, that is their song, with joyful ring, all caroling.
One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they pound, raising their sound, or here and there, telling their tale. Gaily they ring while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Ding dong, ding dong, merry Christmas.
Come on, they send on without end, their joyful tone to every home. Dark are the bells, creak silver bells, all seem to say, throw cares away. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the bold. Ding dongy dong, that is their song, with joyful ring, all caroling.
One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they pound, raising their sound, or here and there, telling their tale. Gaily they ring while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here.
Ding, merry, merry, merry Christmas. Ding, merry, merry, merry caroling. Come on, they send on without end their joyful tone to every home.
Come on, they send on without end their joyful tone to every home.
Ding, dong, ding, dong.
Since we know a place to go, let us Amen. That's a blessing. Let's go ahead and stand together one more time. Song 148, Away in a Manger. Song 148. Let's sing it together. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Let's take just a minute now and welcome each other. As we make our way back to our seats, we'll sing it again. We'll sing it on the last verse now, song 148. Away in a manger, let's sing it on the last verse.
Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there.
Thank you. You may be seated. As our ushers come, this is our offering time, and of course, this is our church service as well as our school program, and so ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'd like to take our offering. And this is for our church family, as we are always faithful to give unto him. We're going to pray and ask the Lord to bless this offering. We bow our heads for just a moment and keep in mind that when we worship the Lord, we also worship in our giving. And that certainly is what we learn in Scripture that God teaches us. We're going to have my son, Brother Stone Street, lead us in prayer, please.
Let's pray together. Lord, tonight I thank you that we can come here and, Lord, hear the music and, Lord, hear the kids. And thank you for, Lord, all the practice that went in tonight. Lord, I pray that we would look past the cuteness of the kids and look past the singing and the different things that went on tonight and the things that are going to go on. And I pray we would look at the message, Lord, behind the music. Lord, I pray that we would realize that Christmas really is about you, Christ. And I pray if there's somebody in here that hasn't accepted you as their Savior, Father, I pray that they would be saved. Lord, I pray you bless this offering. Lord, I pray you'd further it, Lord, for the sake of the gospel. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Stevie. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight, and turn with me to Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter 2, and while we heard all about the story, let me tell you the story. Matthew chapter 2, in Matthew's gospel, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men and inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. You know, from the smallest child to the oldest adult, we love to sing the Christmas carols. The Christmas carols are always a special part of the Christmas each year. And just like we did on Monday night, we went out and we went into the community and we took about 60 or 65 people on a bus and we just kind of went and sang and we just went out to houses and knocked on doors and sang to the people. Some came out and some didn't. They still heard us though. And we had a great time. But as we think of the Christmas carols, you know, not all of them are 100% scriptural. But many of them have the message, and they tell the story of Christ's coming. And tonight, I just want to take a few minutes, and I want to talk about a carol, or the carols of Christmas, centered around the story, because I'm convinced that the Christmas carols reveal three different attitudes towards Christ in the first century. And not only do they reveal the attitudes toward Christ in the first century, but in the 21st century as well. Because the truth of the matter is, it was not a whole lot different, it's not a whole lot different today than it was in those days. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ came, there were these three groups of people that were living, and they had certain attitudes towards Christ, just like we have today. The first group represents those who sing the song that goes something like this, Oh, come, let us destroy him. And as I was thinking about that, I was reminded of the fact that there are some who would love to destroy the message of Jesus Christ. They would love to get rid of this gospel story. Now, you can have your religion, and you can have your belief system. You can have all those things. But when you bring Christ in the equation, that's a whole different story. It's amazing to me how there's just sort of an element of people out here that want to destroy Jesus Christ. I'm really proud of Travis Air Force Base for the stand they've taken. I think it's a tremendous blessing that just because there was one person who said he was offended, decided that he was going to go to some atheistic group and get people together to get them to take it down for him. And I'm glad that our wing commander didn't bow to that. It's a blessing to know that you know, I realize that maybe not everyone agrees. Well, don't drive past there anymore. You know, I don't agree with Ramadan. But I don't celebrate Ramadan, and I'm not against people having it. So why should somehow or another, because I'm against it, all the countries in the Middle East who celebrate Ramadan, why should they stop it? Because I'm offended by it. I mean, that's the same common sense that we hear. There are those who would want to destroy Christ. They want to get rid of him altogether. King Herod wanted to destroy him. He was being deceitful here. He wasn't sending the wise men down that he might come down and worship him. He was sending the wise men down that he might come to destroy him. And then there's those who were the Pharisees. They attempted to destroy Christ. We find all throughout his life when he was on earth, not just in the manger, but as he grew, that there were those who were out trying to trap him, trying to destroy him. They tried to get people to refuse to believe on him. But the Bible made it very clear that those who understand Christ, that they had to believe on him as their personal Savior. So there were those there in the first century that wanted to destroy Christ, such as Herod, such as the Pharisees, just like there are liberals today that want to destroy Christ. Their motives are profit. Their desire is for themselves. They want the following. They question God's word. They question God's truth. They question God's son. Yet the truth of the matter is, God's word is settled in heaven. Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God. So in the first century, there are those who would come and sing the song something like this, "Oh, come, let us destroy him." But then there's another group. A second group we might find in here would be those who say, "Oh, come, let us ignore him." There are those who would like to say today that, you know, somehow or another, if we could just ignore him, maybe he'll go away. The Jews ignored his claims. In the Old Testament, he said, "Search the scriptures, ye will learn of me." They ignored his claims to deity, yet he said, "I and my Father are one." They ignored his compassion for them, yet he healed them, fed them, and wept over them. They ignored his salvation, yet he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Even the innkeeper said, "We have no room for him." He represents those who would say, "Boy, if we could just ignore Christ, if we would just somehow or another, we just ignore him, maybe he'll go away." But then we have the majority of people today who ignore his claim. They love to celebrate his birth, but they ignore his death. They love to worship the cradle, but they ignore the cross. They decorate the tree, but they ignore his tree. They light their homes and trees, yet they ignore the light of the world. They pause at the manger, yet they ignore the master. It's amazing to me how that people just want to ignore Christ. And during these next few days, as we make our way up to Christmas, and many of you I know are starting to get some time off and you're going to spend some time with family, let me urge you, don't ignore Christ in Christmas. Make sure you put him in where he belongs. Make sure that you take time to honor him for who he is and what he did for this world. See, a celebration without the Savior is not a celebration at all. A Christmas without Christ is not Christmas at all. And a life without Jesus Christ is not a life at all. If you've never personally believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we want to urge you, and so do the kids as they were singing, and so do all of us. We want you to know Jesus Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, the Bible says. And the moment that I call on him, the Bible said, he's willing to be my personal Savior. And it's not so much about the fact is that I'm trying to get him to accept me, or that I'm trying to get you to accept him. It's he accepts me as his son. There's no doubt about it. God wants to save you tonight. He does want to do that. But then there's one more group. We have the first who say, "Oh, come, let us destroy him." The second who say, "Oh, let us come ignore him." But the third group is the group that I hope all of us could make a part of, and that is, oh, let us come and adore him. Because if you're a Christian tonight, he is worthy of our adoration. Man, I am so glad that he's my Savior tonight. I'm so glad that as I come into the Christmas season, that I have a reason for this Christmas season. That I don't have to pursue a bottle or a present or a person that you know, somehow or another to make happy. All I need to do is make sure that I honor Jesus Christ because he's my Savior. He's the reason, as they say, for the season. Oh, come, let us adore him. The shepherds came reverently and they bowed down to him. The wise men came worshipfully and they came to worship him. And the Christian today comes joyously as we love him and give praise unto him. And tonight, I want to ask you, what is Christ to you in this whole story? Who is he to you? Is he someone you hear about? Is he someone that you think about in the manger? Or is he your Savior? You see, there's a close connection from the cradle to the cross. We like the cradle, we ignore the cross. You can't ignore the cross. The cradle leads to the cross. Because that's why he came. He came that men might be saved. And he loves you tonight. And you can go from those who perhaps maybe have ignored him to those who adore him. What a blessing it is. The greatest gift in all the world. And these are gifts to point to that. Because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, he's the gift. Because in him is everything that we can have. It's the divine, he's the divine fulfillment. He's that peace that passeth all understanding. He's the comforter that comforts us in every trial. He's the one that loves us when no one else does. He's the all-powerful God that dwells within us. He's the one that cares for every need. He's the great provider and the sacrifice for all of us. That's who Jesus is. And he loves you tonight. And I trust and pray that if you've never received him, you'll trust him and accept him as your personal Savior. You know, as we come in just the closing part of this service, I want to urge you to really think about the message. Consider receiving Christ if you've never done that. If you have, why don't you decide, this year I'm going to adore Christ like I've never done before. Heavenly Father,